defeated.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You've probably heard by now the carmaker rescue is toast, at least for the moment. The Senate shot down the $14 billion package last night after the UAW rejected Republican demands for big wage cuts. The obvious question this morning is, now what? Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
At 10 p.m. last night in Washington, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said the emergency loan to automakers had failed.
I dread looking at Wall Street tomorrow. It's not going to be a pleasant sight.
Congress could take another crack at the plan, but that won't happen until January. But General Motors and Chrysler say they could go bankrupt before the new year. So Reid and other congressional Democrats want the White House to tap the $700 billion Wall Street bailout.
I would hope that the president, who's worked so well with us the past few weeks on this legislation, would now consider using the TARP money to help the auto industry and the workers of this country.
GM and Chrysler have hired bankruptcy advisors to prepare for the worst. The carmakers say 1 in 10 U.S. jobs are tied to the auto industry. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The overseas markets are certainly taking this hard, even though the EU and Japan both announced stimulus packages today. In Japan, stocks closed 5.5% lower, with Honda and Toyota both losing more than 10% each. The dollar hit a 13-year low against the yen. In the European markets, we're seeing 3, 4, and 5% losses. The Dow is at 85.65. It fell 196 points yesterday, about 2%. We're joined now by David Buick. He's with the Cantor Index in London. David, there's obviously a lot of angst in the markets. What's the biggest concern?
It's the realization that, frankly, the U.S. auto industry has been living in the dark ages for the last 20 years, and there is a grave concern. They're not going to be in a position to provide radical plans for Congress by the end of March, because this is a huge industry. It probably employs 2 million people, mm-hmm. So it is a very, very serious issue. It's not just Detroit. It's effective U.K., China, India. It's a dramatic problem.
What do you think is the best scenario for the car makers at this point?
Scott, you won't want to hear this.
Okay.
But shall I tell you?
Yes, please.
I would do everything, if I was President-elect Obama, in my power to make sure that the banks were strong as quickly as possible, because banks don't want to carry on lending money to a lame duck, do they? But what Mullally and his colleagues, Nardelli and Wagoner, have to do, and have to do it quickly, is they have to agree massive redundancies and huge cuts. And however devastating it is for Detroit and the surrounding areas, you have to take some remedial action. And I think they will fudge through a deal sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks, or they'll wait till President Obama takes office on the 20th of January. But all it means is the old begging bowl for Oliver Twist is out there again for another $30 billion. And that's not fair on the U.S. taxpayers.
Okay, David Buick from the Cantor Index, thanks for joining us.
It's a great pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. You can join the conversation at Gather.com.
You ready for this? A new report says there really isn't a credit crunch. There's a deep recession, obviously, but the credit markets are doing just fine, according to consulting firm Celent. Keep in mind the Fed and the Treasury have focused a lot of their efforts and our money on solving the credit problem. We're joined now by the report's author, Octavio Morenzi. Octavio, what do you base your conclusions upon?
Mostly from the Federal Reserve itself. So the vast majority of the numbers that we used in this report actually come from the Federal Reserve. And in area after area, what we found is that really a lot of the lending, a lot of the things being said about the credit crisis or the nature of this financial crisis aren't borne out by those numbers. So we found that bank lending is at a record high. Consumer credit is at a record high. Interbank lending is at a record high. All these things that we've been told have basically dried up are actually flowing quite well.
So are you saying that a few bad apples among the banks have caused all of this uproar about credit?
I would say that's probably what's happening, that a few very large institutions are in financial difficulty. They're having a hard time obtaining credit. And if you look at the panel of banks on the LIBOR rate, more than half of them I would put in that category. Now, there are a lot of banks out there who didn't make bad bets, who didn't get very involved in the subprime markets, and they're doing quite okay. And they have no shortage of credit for those kinds of institutions. And in fact, when you talk to businesses or consumers or people like that, I think you'll find that the vast majority of people who are creditworthy are not having any problems getting credit.
So what's the situation here? Are the Fed and the Treasury either A, misinformed, or B, misleading us?
I'm not saying either. I don't want to accuse them of not telling the truth. I think they're analyzing the situation and coming to conclusions about it. But I don't see where that information is coming from. And even economists within the Federal Reserve aren't seeing where they're coming to these conclusions either.
Okay, then the bottom line is, if it's not access to credit which is causing this financial mess, what is?
Well, what's causing the financial mess is that a number of institutions took very, very large risks and got caught. So they lent to the wrong people, they lowered their lending standards, and they've lost lots of money as a result of it. But I would point out it's not all banks that did that. There's a large number of banks that did not do that. But unfortunately, amongst the top banks in the country, there's a fair number who got caught in that trap.
Octavio Morenzi from Salent, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Now, even that LIBOR rate, the interbank lending rate in London, is falling. This morning, it's down to less than 2%, which is a four-year low. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org, and we have much more coverage of the economic fallout online as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.